Philippians chapter number 4, and we're going to read one verse together, verse number 4. Verse number 4. Reading from the King James Bible. If you have a King James Bible, let's all stand and read together Philippians 4, verse number 4 together. Ready? Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. We're going to talk about part 2, joy, this morning, as we started last week on biblical joy. There's a little different take on this joy this morning. Now, dear God, please bless. Meet with us, dear Holy Spirit of God. Thank you for these dear folks. I pray that you bless them for their faithfulness. Thank you, Lord, for the word of God. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for the joy of salvation. Now, dear God, dear Holy Spirit of God, meet with us, bless, speak to our hearts about this very important matter, the joy that we ought to have. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, last week, as I said, we talked about biblical joy, Bible joy. If you were here for the Sunday night, even the world laughs, has joy, is happy and glad in their own world outside of Bible truths and Bible principles. So a man or a woman can laugh even if they're not saved. They can have joy and happiness even if they're not saved. But the Bible says in the book of Job, the joy of the hypocrite is short, but for a short moment, short time. What we have, Bible joy, is everlasting joy. It doesn't depend on circumstances of life. It doesn't depend on whether things are good in the world or in your life. Everlasting joy only depends on Jesus Christ, who gives everlasting life, everlasting joy. So even in the midst of heartaches and burdens, even in the midst of the worst things that have ever happened to you in your life, my Bible says not only that we can have joy, but it's a commandment to have joy. Look what he says. Philippians 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Now, that's a commandment, just like every other commandment is in the Bible, that you love one another. It's a commandment to come to church. It's a commandment to read your Bible. It's a commandment to pray. It's a commandment to witness and to share the gospel. There's a whole bunch of commandments in the Bible, but we don't think that this one here, having joy and being joyful, is a commandment, but you can't get around it. And not just this verse. We're going to go through a whole bunch of verses this morning. The Bible says, Paul's writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He says, rejoice in the Lord, watch this, always. Now, I'm sure there were times in your life like they were in my life, you didn't feel like rejoicing. Nonetheless, God commands us to rejoice. He said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, he emphasized it. I say, rejoice. He said, well, I'm not happy, Pastor. Well, you know what? You're your own God, not Jesus being your God. So if you're your own God, then you say, well, I'm not going to laugh, or I'm not going to enjoy life. I'm not going to have happiness. I'm not going to be glad. I have no joy because you don't know what's happening in my life. That means you're telling everybody that you're your own God and everything's not going right in your life and you can't be happy and you can't be glad and you can't rejoice because obviously Jesus said to rejoice. I think it was last Sunday morning, maybe it could have been Sunday night, where Jesus, the Bible says, the joy that was set before him endured the cross. He saw joy ahead beyond the cross. What you and I mostly see is just the cross and the tough times, the hard times. But there's joy on the other side of the hard times. There's joy on the other side of the cross, and we're supposed to pick up our cross daily and follow him, the Bible says. So even with your struggles, even with your heartaches, God says it's a command to rejoice. You are commanded to rejoice just like every other commandment in the Bible. So, Pastor, I was never really the giddy type and laughing type and happy person kind of type. I didn't grow up that way. Well, then change that way and repent of that sin, just like other people repented of liquor or smoking or cussing or swearing. There's no difference of you disobeying one part of the Bible and somebody else disobeying another part of the Bible. There's no difference. So, well, I'm not that kind of individual. Well, learn to be the kind of individual that God wants you to be. It boggles my mind how so many people just live a grumpy life their entire life. They're critical about, it's too cold, it's too hot, it's too snowy, it's too rainy, it's too, whatever you want to say, they just complain about everything. I mean, some people are just moaners and complainers and groaners. They're not glad about being saved. They don't know how to. If they ever smile, they bleed from the cracking in their face. That mortician is going to work overtime on your face. Amen. Really, people can't smile. Last question: are you saved? Are you a child of God? Have you been saved from a burning hell? Are you going to be with Jesus when you die? What in this world can ever deter you, ever, to keep you from being glad that you're saved and child of God? Something else has come in between you and God. Something else has come in between you and Jesus Christ to stop you from enjoying the only life that God has given you. My Bible says in Psalm 5:11, those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy. Did you put your trust in Jesus Christ? Amen. Well, he says, let all those. That's like a commandment. Let. Allow this happen. Let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. He said in Psalm 5, verse 11, let them ever shout for joy. I remember when I first came up here, look, I was really green behind the ears. I didn't know much about religious communities, religious churches. I didn't know much at all. I just knew I got saved. I was baptized. I went to my first pastor school, as I said, I think a few weeks ago. And I just knew I wanted to do something for God. So I came up here, started a church. And because I was a Baptist, I started hanging around with other Baptist pastors. And they have this monthly meeting. It's called the BBF. I don't know if that stands for Bible Baptist Fellowship or Baptist Bible Fellowship, one of the two. But it's a BBF meeting they have once a week. And then what they do is they go around the whole state. And they hold this meeting once a month in different independent Baptist churches, and the pastors in that area or the speakers come there and they preach. There used to be anywhere between 20 and 40 fellows. There were sometimes their wives or people from their church would come, and it'd be some good preaching, some good singing, special singing. It had some good times. But the one thing that disgusted me all the time is afterwards they had a business meeting. I've never in my life saw a bunch of complainers like I did during that business meeting. People who are so called of God, people who claim to be men of God, almost literally begging for money from everybody else and telling everybody how bad they had it and how hard it was where they were at in New York State. I took about 4 or 6 months of that and I quit. I stopped going. I think they may still do it. I have no idea. I've not been invited for a long time. But I'm just saying, it's just, to me, a bunch of crybabies that have no joy. Now, I ask this question, why can't you sing if you're saved? Why can't you grab a songbook and sing at the top of your lungs and praise God that you're saved from hell? Why can't you rejoice and be glad? The worst thing that can happen in your life, the worst thing, is that taking you away from Jesus Christ, your Savior, who saved you from hell? Or you're upset because things didn't go right in your life. You're mad at your wife. You're mad at your husband. You're mad at your kids. You're mad at your boss. You're mad at your parents. You're mad at the entire world. You know. Psalm 16 verse 11 says, in thy presence is fullness of joy. In God's presence, there is fullness of joy. God is full of joy. He is love. He is full of joy, the Bible says. And in his presence is fullness of joy, the Bible says. But when you miss out having fellowship with God, you miss out on that joy. The only thing that comes to my mind when I see people that are miserable, they're either not saved, they're not reading their Bible, they're not praying and having a quiet time with God, they're not coming to church, and they're miserable because they're living in the world, their backs are away from God, and their hearts are cold. If you're a child of God, you ought to let your face know about it. If you're saved from a burning lake of fire, you ought to let your face know about it once in a while, amen? Because your face has no idea that you're saved, and neither do your neighbors, and neither do your relatives, and neither do other people that you pass by, because you're miserable. Amen. I refuse to be miserable. My lot in life is to make everybody else miserable, amen? As my wife said this week, you don't have high blood pressure, you give high blood pressure. That's true. Amen? That's true. But look, this church building can, look, my joy does not depend on having a nice church building like the one that we have. I was preaching this way and having joy in the little claptrap thing that we had for 15, 20 years. Amen. Good building, bad building ain't going to bother my rejoicing at all. Because my rejoicing doesn't depend on a religious building. Amen. You know, it's amazing. People who voted for Donald Trump, like Donald Trump, are no different in their joy and their happiness than the people who voted for President Obama. Because the people that were miserable when President Obama was a president are no different than the people that are miserable now that President Trump is in office. If you think the occupant of the White House is going to ruin my joy, then you obviously don't know the joy of Jesus Christ, ladies and gentlemen. My joy doesn't depend on who lives at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. My joy doesn't depend on who lives in the governor's mansion. My joy, I think I mentioned this before, it doesn't matter, to my joy at least, doesn't matter who's the mayor of this claptrap welfare city called Troy. My joy ain't going to be diminished because who's in office somewhere. My joy depends on Jesus Christ, and he's the same yesterday, today, forever. He don't change at all.
Amen.
And he's full of joy. My Bible says in Psalm 27:6, therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. Well, I say, well, it's hard for me to smile and laugh, Pastor. Well, then sacrifice and force yourself to. Hey, you know what some of you ought to do? Just go in front of a mirror and put your fingers on your cheeks and push your lips up like that and just stay there for about a minute and force yourself to smile a little bit.
Amen.
So I was never that kind of a person. Well, let God teach you, amen. You know, some of you need a good, clean joke book. You know how you don't have fun. You don't know how to laugh. In my house, we laugh at other people's expense, amen. And God's given us 7 billion reasons to laugh, amen? My Bible says in Psalm 32, verse 11, be glad in the Lord. It's a commandment. These are commandments like everything else is a commandment. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy. Oh, we were talking earlier with Emily about, I don't know about you, but being from Philadelphia area, we're glad that the Eagles won the Super Bowl. I'm sitting in that living room, man. Look, I know I'm 60 years old. I don't care what you think, amen. I got up, I started screaming, I said, yeah, it was exciting. Hey, you'd be excited if you were an Eagles fan, amen. haven't won a championship since 1960. But if they won or lost, I still have joy. But if I'm going to rejoice over a stupid ball game, I'm sure going to do that and much more for the Lord Jesus Christ, who is my Savior. How can you go to a football game, a basketball game, a hockey game, any kind of game you want to call it, and shout and scream and scream and root for your team and not stand up and shout glory, hallelujah, to Jesus Christ? That tells me sports are your God, not Jesus Christ. You're your own God. See, when you get a pay raise, you're glad then. You're happy then. You don't even show any emotion when somebody gets saved, amen? You're not even glad when somebody gets baptized, amen? You're not even glad that visitors have started coming to church and people joining the church. My Bible says in Psalm 42, verse number 4, I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise. Psalm 43, verse 4 says, God, my exceeding joy. If you fell in love with Jesus Christ, you'd have joy that is unspeakable joy, the Bible says. Psalm 51, verse 8. I may have mentioned this last week. It says, make me to hear joy and gladness. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Some of you need to restore the joy of your salvation in Psalm 51. Really, you need to get along with God. Start reading your Bible, amen? No, you know what? Are you saved this morning? If you're not saved, you'd better get born again this morning. Because if you're not a child of God, you're one breath from hell right now. And before we have the invitation, you better ask God for mercy right now while you're sitting there to save your soul before you die. Because you can have a heart attack right there. I'm telling you something. My joy doesn't depend whether we have 1,000 people come to church or 10 people come to church. Now, I'm happy when 1,000 people, if 1,000 people come, when they come. Maybe next couple of years, amen. But I was glad when we had our record-breaking attendance days. I like that. I'm not against any of that. I'm all for clean promotions like gun giveaways and things that'll draw people to church and get them saved. I'm all for that. I'm not against that. But let me tell you something. It's not going to ruin my joy when only five people show up. It ain't going to ruin my joy. See, I read my Bible, I pray, and I spend time with God alone, and he's the giver of all my pleasure, ladies and gentlemen. My Bible says in Psalm 132, verse number 9, let thy saints shout for joy. I mean, shout. When's the last time you just stood up and waved your Bible and said, glory be to God, hallelujah, I'm saved, amen? Really? You know what it said? It said that I can hear some of the women singing the songs more than I can hear the men singing the gospel songs and hymns. I don't know about you, man. Look, I don't sing loud because I'm the pastor, or I don't sing loud because I lead the singing. I sing loud before I became a pastor. When I go to church, I don't care where I'm at. I don't care if I'm visiting somewhere else in Timbuktu, man. You grab me a songbook, and I'm singing as loud as I possibly can. By the time I'm done singing, I'm out of breath, amen. My Bible says in Proverbs 12:20, to the counsels of peace is joy. See, we talked about reconciliation in adult Bible study. When you reconcile people and you counsel people to have peace in their life, I'll tell you, there's just joy there, ladies and gentlemen. There's joy there that you won't understand. Take your Bible, please. Turn to Ecclesiastes chapter number 5. So how come God doesn't answer my prayer? Well, I knew you were going to ask that question this morning, so I have the answer here. Ecclesiastes chapter number 5. The reason why so many, let me tell you something. The reason why so many people on the outside that are lost think that Christianity is a boring religion is because of you. Yeah. You are advertising a dead God. You are advertising a dead religion. You know why? Because you're dead. You're walking around like a zombie. You're walking around like a corpse. You don't can't smile. You can't laugh. You can't enjoy your salvation. I'll tell you, one thing that draw me to get saved, listen to me good, the lady that gave me a gospel tract, I've never seen anybody smiling as much and loving people as much. And just, and I knew she had her heartaches and burdens, but she smiled through her tears. You think people are going to get saved because you're grumpy all the time? Ain't going to happen, ladies and gentlemen. Ecclesiastes chapter number 5. Why doesn't God answer my prayer request? Verse 24, he shall not much remember the days of his life, because God answereth him in the joy of his heart. You think God's going to answer your prayer request and you're ticked off? You're mad at everybody, mad at the world. Instead of getting mad at yourself or angry at yourself, you're angry at everybody else. I mean, you remember how you used to laugh and have fun when you got drunk? Stoned out of your mind, didn't know what happened, where you were, how you ended up where you ended up. And you had a great time, right? I'm just telling you, in the world, you had a great time. Don't tell me you weren't laughing. Well, if you can laugh and have a good time doing that kind of stuff, then you can do that and much more for Jesus Christ, but you don't let it happen. You quench the Holy Spirit of God. You limit the Holy One of Israel. God wants his people to rejoice and have joy. Hey, how come some people can enjoy this kind of preaching and you can't? Why can some people say, preacher, preach more of that. That's good stuff. And somebody said, I ain't never coming back here. What's the difference? It's the same sermon. It's the same preaching. It's just some people are miserable for the rest. They want to be miserable. They decided to be miserable. I ain't changing my preacher because miserable people show up. Isaiah chapter number 12, please. Isaiah 12. He answereth him in the joy of his heart. God answereth him in the joy of his heart. You don't get your prayers answered. We read that? We read that, didn't we? When you go to God, you're supposed to go with joy and thanksgiving in your prayer closet. But you come grumbling to God. God, you don't know how bad it is. Why are you letting this happen to me? Blah, 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 blah. Not even thanking God that you're saved. Not even thanking God for your salvation. All you do when you go to God, if you go to God, you just complain. And you're bitter. And you think God's going to answer that? Isaiah chapter number 12. Verse number 3. Therefore, with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. Did the Bible study on things that accompany salvation Wednesday night or Sunday night, I can't remember right now. And there's a lot of things that accompany salvation, or at least that are available to you with salvation. One is living a victorious Christian life. We are more than conquerors, the Bible says. You can, through the Lord Jesus Christ, defeat anything and anyone in your life, ladies and gentlemen. I don't care how big they are. I don't care how strong the enemy is. I don't care what the obstacle looks like. Jesus Christ, who is God Almighty, can take care of everyone and everything in your life. Amen. And you can draw that out of the wells of salvation. The power of God, the wisdom of God, the joy of God, the love of God. I'm telling you, there is no lost person who's going to enjoy life more than I am. There is no criminal alive who's going to enjoy life more than I am. There is no one who's going to stop me from enjoying my life as much as I possibly can living for God. It ain't going to happen. I have decided that I'm going to rejoice for the rest of my life because I'm saved, a child of God, ladies and gentlemen. And I am not going to be intimidated because I don't care. Fill in the blank is going to try to pour cold water on why I should be happy, glad, and joyful that I'm a child of God and I love the Word of God. But we live in a day and age where that joy is darkened today. We live in a day and age, we live in a nation where people don't want to hear the truth. And so they're miserable today. They're taking drugs, pharmaceuticals. You know, you complain about the folks that take illegal drugs. How about you taking uppers and downers from a psychiatrist or a psychologist? They're both just as bad. People getting drunk because they have no joy inside. People are shooting their veins and sniffing their white powder cocaine and smoking the marijuana because there's joy lacking in their life and there's joy lacking in their heart and their suicide rates are going off the charts. You have that if you want. I got more joy than a ball game can give me. I have more joy than a weed can give me. I have more joy than a wine bottle can give me. I have more joy than cuss words or pornography can give me. I have more joy than the riches and the pleasures of the world can give me. I have more joy than anything that the world has to offer. I have Jesus Christ. My Bible says your sorrow shall be turned into joy. That's what Jesus said in John chapter number 16. But if you don't have Jesus as your joy, then you're going to be miserable. Take your Bible, please, turn to Deuteronomy 28, please. Deuteronomy 28. You know what I've noticed? The most hellfire and damnation preachers are the happiest preachers in the world. There's some stories I wish I could tell you, but you know what? It'd be off-color sort of from the pulpit coming. And you say, well, Pastor, you shouldn't be thinking or saying those kind of things. Let me tell you something. I plan on enjoying my life for the rest of my life. Whether you like it or agree with it or not, you live your boring, bitter, cold, dead life the way you want to. I choose to be alive for Jesus Christ. You know, I remember I was talking about these BBF dead meetings I used to go to. And look, I don't say amen because I'm preaching. I used to say amen before we had a church, amen. You ask my wife. Sometimes I'd be the only one in the back saying amen. We go visit somewhere, and it'd be a good sermon, but the people would be dead, and I'd be the only one saying amen, amen. And people just turn around like, what walked in, you know? Like, they all turn around, like, just look at me and say, what in the world happened? Yeah. One of those BBF meetings was over. And if it's a good sermon, I'm saying amen. And I guess I must have been saying amen, hallelujah, whatever I was saying, you know. And some pastor walked up and says, ask me what my background is, as if I was like charismatic or Pentecostal too much, you know. You know what I'm talking about. I said, I was lost, now I'm saved. That's my background. Amen. Are you saved? Amen. Are you saved from the lake of fire? Are you saved from hell? So let me tell you something. I don't mean to belittle this, but some of you worshiping your children more than you worship Jesus Christ. Listen to me good. Some of you are worshiping someone or something else in life instead of Jesus Christ. So you don't know my children. Have you ever met any of my children? You ever met any of them? I've been through. Have you ever heard any of the testimonies I've shared with you? Don't tell me you've had a rougher life. Don't tell me that, I grew up on the other side of the tracks, and you don't know how bad it was, and you know what kind of parents I had, and you don't know how difficult things were. Why don't you shut your mouth and get your Bible out and read it, amen? And fall in love with God Almighty, amen? I refuse to let my wife, my children, my grandchildren, my church people, society, politics, I refuse to let anyone take my joy away from me, because Jesus said, no man taketh it away. I lose it. I give it up. Deuteronomy chapter number 28. Deuteronomy chapter number 28. You want to read this? Verse number 45. You can't have a good time without cussing or swearing, using God's name in vain. You can't have a good time without blaspheming. You can't have a good time without getting drunk or high on dope. You can't have a good time unless you're watching some X-rated or double R-rated, wherever they're rated today. You can't have a good, clean fun, you know? Deuteronomy 28, verse number 45. Moreover, all these curses shall come upon thee and shall pursue thee and overtake thee till thou be destroyed. Watch this. Because thou hearkenest not unto the voice of the Lord thy God to keep his commandments and his statutes which he commanded thee. And they shall be upon thee for a sign and for a wonder and upon thy seed forever. Watch this. I have this underlined in my Bible. You do what you want. Because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things. You complain about your foot hurts and your back hurts and your head hurts and your shoulder hurts and this hurts and that hurts. And you don't even thank God that you're breathing. You don't thank God that you're alive because you've decided to be miserable. Bless God. When you got pain in your body, it's a good indication that you're alive. Amen. Huh? When you have a headache, pounding headache, and it bothers you so much, you can't think straight. It's a good indication that you're still alive. Amen. But we just complain, complain, and complain. That's America's a bunch of complainers. Everybody wants to fall victim. Be a victim. You don't know how bad it's been. My Bible says in 1 Chronicles 16, let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. So if you're seeking God, God said, let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. That's what the Bible says. Let means to allow. Let yourself enjoy. So, well, the songs are too boring. Oh, I see. The gospel songs and hymns that are scriptural are too boring for you. But you want to hear a rock and roll rhythm beat that the world plays, the Caribbean, African, South American, Caribbean music on a bouncing screen up here with a bouncing ball and everybody just swaying from left to right. That's what your idea of having fun is, huh? That tells me your God is too boring. You think your God is too boring. Well, God's curse is on God's people. God's people. Because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart. Are you glad you're saved? Are you glad the church? There's too many people in America, they don't even care if they come to church or not come to church, while people in communist China, in Iran, in Cuba, are being jailed trying to get to church. And you're not even glad we live in a land that we still have a little bit of liberty that we can gather and have church here. You didn't even think about it when you came this morning and said, man, I'm glad the church doors are open this morning, amen. I'm glad the church is still here, amen. Because most people have a miserable mindset. And that's why God's cursed them. My Bible says in Psalm 2, verse number 11, rejoice with trembling. That's what it says. You ought to fear God and rejoice with trembling. My Bible says in Psalm 5, let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. Psalm 9 says, I will rejoice in thy salvation. Psalm 13, verse number 5 says, I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. My Bible says in Psalm 21, verse 1, in thy salvation, how greatly shall he rejoice. Psalm 31, verse 7 says, I will be glad and rejoice in thy mercy. We don't need gimmicks and highfalutin stuff to rejoice. I don't need electricity. I can rejoice without power. But everybody complains. You know, if something happens to the sound, if something happens to the electric, if something happens to the heat, what are we going to do? Rejoice evermore. It's a command. Amen. And again, I say rejoice. Amen. Where Christians used to meet in cold caves, under brush arbors, in basements and attics and garages or barns, we get to meet in a beautiful building. And you still can't be happy. My Bible says in Psalm 48:11, be glad because of thy judgments. My Bible says in Psalm 60, verse 6, God has spoken in his holiness, I will rejoice. Do you ever notice people that believe in holiness, separation of the world? I mean, real Bible holiness. Do you ever see how they smile real sweet and kind? But do you ever see people that are 1 foot in the world, 1 foot in the church house? They're miserable because they know they're a hypocrite. Their conscience bothers them. But if you believe the word of God and you believe in his holiness, God said in Psalm 108, verse 7, God hath spoken in his holiness, I will rejoice. If you believe in the holiness of God, you can rejoice. Amen. Psalm 63 says, because thou hast been my help. Goes on and says, will I rejoice? My Bible says in Psalm 66, he turned the sea into dry land. They went through the flood on foot. There did we rejoice in him when they were going through the Red Sea. The Bible says in Psalm 68, let the righteous be glad and let them rejoice before God. Yea, let them exceedingly rejoice. It seems like the further north you get, people are just deader and deader, man. Hardly anybody says amen. Hardly anybody says hallelujah, glory to God. You got to go down south somewhere where some hellfire and damnation Baptist preacher, people who love God, stand up and raise their Bible, wave their Bible and sing and glory hallelujah, amen. Amen. But it seems like the further north you get, man, the colder the hearts get, man. I mean, you think this is bad. You go ahead to Canada one time, man. You go to church in Canada, it's like deader than a doornail. My Bible says, let the righteous be glad and rejoice before God. Let them exceedingly rejoice. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Psalm 70. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, let God be magnified. Psalm 71 says, my lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee, my soul which thou hast redeemed. Psalm 89 says, in thy name shall they rejoice all the day. Your wife burns dinner and you get mad. Instead of saying, boy, that's a pretty unique way to make dinner. Thank you very much. You know? Some things don't go right in church services. The singing, the offering, whatever it is, special singing, I don't know. And people get upset. What are we going to do? Rejoice, sing. You know, the average church today, if there's any dead space, they don't know what to do. That's why they have this Hollywood type piped in music coming in, you know? What's it called over here? Organ. They have organ music piped in, you know? Because if they don't have preaching or singing and there's nothing going on in the speakers, what do we do? Well, why don't you be happy and sing a little bit yourself? Why don't you smile and rejoice that you're saved? Amen. Why don't you greet people? Why don't you greet visitors? Amen. My Bible says in Psalm 98, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Make a loud noise and rejoice. My Bible says in Psalm 104, even the Lord shall rejoice in his works. The Bible says in Psalm 105, let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Psalm 118 says, this is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. We had a skating rink outside our house this morning. I don't know about you. Man, we slid to our cars. I'm talking on feet now. You just slide, you know. And I'm sure it was like where you were. I know it's ice outside here, man. What do you do, Pastor? Get some salt and rejoice. Amen. Get a ice chopper and rejoice and sing, amen. I can't believe I got to do this. Why don't you sing and rejoice, amen? We live in a land of a bunch of complainers, and churches are filled with them too. My Bible says, rejoice with the wife of thy youth, Proverbs 5:18. Too many men are miserable because their wife is the way that she is. That's your job. Your job is to rejoice. Here's what you do. Here's what you do. You complain about your wife, but disobey what God says in Proverbs chapter number 5. I got kind of quiet this morning. Let me just repeat that. You complain about your wife while you disobey Proverbs chapter number 5. My Bible says, rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Look, I know how tough it is getting married, being married. 35 years we're going on, amen. It's tough when you're always right. At least there's one man in here, amen. Why can't you enjoy life? Because you refuse to. Why can't you be happy? Because you refuse to. People, a bunch of complainers, man. Ointment and perfume rejoice the heart, the Bible says in Proverbs 27:9. So doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. My Bible says in Proverbs 29, the righteous doth sing and rejoice. My Bible says in Ecclesiastes to rejoice in his labor. This is the gift of God. The reason why some people are miserable, I'm just telling you, because you don't have, I hate to use the word self-worth, but you don't understand the joy that comes from working with your own body, with your own hands, and God blessing you as a result. Did you ever notice that the takers are the most complainers? If you don't believe that, go to a welfare office and see how they complain. If you don't believe that, go to the unemployment office, go to the food stamp section, and find most of those people are a bunch of beggars that are complainers, and they're grumblers. But you get somebody who just got paid on Friday or Saturday, man, they're happy. It's a gift of God, the Bible says. Maybe some of what you need to do is find yourself a good full-time job, amen. My Bible says in Song of Solomon, we will be glad and rejoice in thee. We will remember thy love more than wine. The upright love thee. Are you right with God? America is a sign of Isaiah chapter 24. The mirth of tabrets ceaseth. The noise of them that rejoice endeth. The joy of the harp ceaseth. That's what's happening in America. Instead of being glad and rejoicing in God's salvation, instead of rejoicing and receiving joy, like we said last week, from the very word of God, the King James Bible, that's why these perversions have caused less joy in our country, in our churches, ladies and gentlemen. They don't know if they're really saved. They don't know if they're eternally secure. They don't have the power of God. They don't have the blessings of God. But my Bible says the meek shall also shall increase their joy in the Lord. If you're meek and you're humble, take your Bible, turn to Isaiah chapter 61. Well, you don't have to turn there. It says, everlasting joy shall be upon them. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. He hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorned herself with her jewels. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse number 18 says, Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Joel chapter number 2 says, fear not, O land. Be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God. Zechariah 9:9 says, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion, shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt the foal of an ass. Hey, I got news for you. The king's coming. I said the king, the Lord Jesus Christ, is coming. Why can't you rejoice that he could be here today, tomorrow, next day? Hallelujah. I understand it. I just understand how God's people can be so miserable. Take your Bible, turn to John 14, please. John 14. We're almost done. The Gospel of John, chapter 14. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 says, rejoice evermore. Rejoice evermore. First verse we started off with Philippians, says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Always. All the time. You know, you could rejoice even though the tears are flowing. You know, you could rejoice even though you have disappointments in your life. You could decide to obey God and rejoice when everything doesn't turn out the way you want in your life. John chapter number 14, verse 28, Jesus is speaking. What did Jesus say? WWJD? What did Jesus say? John chapter 14, verse number 28. You have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. I have this underlined in my Bible. Listen to me good. If ye loved me, ye would rejoice. You don't rejoice because you don't love God. You can't be happy because you don't love the King James Bible. You can't be happy, doesn't matter what I say, what I preach, what I teach, because a miserable person doesn't want to receive the love of God. So I'm going to die this way. Have it your way. You're going to meet the God who wrote this book. You're going to meet the God who wrote this book. He said in John 16, verse 20, your sorrow shall be turned into joy. That ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice when he's going to be crucified. Ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. And he said in verse 22, he said last week, your joy no man taketh from you. I'm glad I'm saved. My Bible says in Psalm 118, verse 25, the voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacle of the righteous. You'd rather have the television on. You'd rather play your online games. You can't even sing and rejoice in your own habitation. You're not even thankful that you have a place to live. You're not thankful you have food to eat. You're not thankful you have clothes to wear. They were persecuted. In Acts chapter number 5, the Bible says, verse number 41, they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. We'll see what you're really like when you suffer for the Lord Jesus Christ, ladies and gentlemen. My Bible says in 2 Corinthians 6:10, always rejoicing. Can you rejoice all the time, even through heartache? My Bible says in Job 5, verse number 17, behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth. Do you know who the most miserable children are adults are today? Listen to me good. Adults who were never spanked when they were youngsters. They're spoiled, rotten brats. Listen to me good. I said most of the adults that can't handle reality are selfish because they've never been spanked the way they should have been when they were younger. Well, I don't believe in spanking. That's why your kids are going to be as miserable as you are. Yeah. They can't deal with reality. My Bible says, happy is the man whom God correcteth. You know why they can't take preaching? Because they probably weren't spanked enough when they were young. They didn't have a father figure in their home. Somebody who represented authority. They hate patriarchy today. They hate anything to do with a man. And my Bible says God is a man. He's a man of war. And the reason they don't like a Bible preaching today is because they're miserable. Behold, happy is the man whom God corrected. And by the way, that's what preaching is. It corrects people. There's some things in the Bible I don't like reading, but it corrects me. There's some preaching that's hard for me to swallow sometimes, but I need it. And my Bible says the end result of that is, happy is the man whom God correcteth. Therefore, despise not thou the chastening of the Almighty. Psalm 144, 15 says, happy is that people that is in such a case. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. My Bible says in Proverbs 3, happy is the man that findeth wisdom. The reason you're not happy, obviously, because you have a lack of wisdom. And the man that getteth understanding, happy is everyone that retaineth her, talking about wisdom. Proverbs 14 says, he that hath mercy on the poor, happy is he. Even lost people that give to causes that help poor people, do you ever realize, you ever see them, they're really happy when they give? Because God put it in every individual to be happy when you give of yourself. Not just for saved people, it's for lost people too. My Bible says in Proverbs 28, happy is the man that feareth alway. My Bible says in Proverbs 29, he that keepeth the law, happy is he. That's right. You keep less and less of the word of God and you'll be miserable too for the rest of your life. Well, I don't believe that's for this time. I don't think that's what he really meant. Okay. Mr. and Mrs. WWJD. John 13, please. John 13, a few more verses and we're closing. John 13, we're closing. Verse number 17. Talking about joy today. Joy that no man taketh from you. Last week we talked about Bible joy, biblical joy. This is part two. John chapter number 13, verse number 17. If ye know these things, happy are ye, watch this now, if ye do them. You know, I found out the most happiest people in the world are people who sold out for God, trying to obey everything in the Word of God, living for God, trying to win souls, coming to church, reading their Bibles, praying, memorize scriptures, witnessing to folks. Those are the happiest people I've ever seen. Because you're happy. Jesus says this. What would Jesus do? No, what did he say? He said, if you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. Well, I'm not going to do that, Pastor, and that's why you're miserable and you're always going to be miserable because your conscience bothers you because you know you're not obeying the Word of God. Acts 26. This is a verse I use a lot in the Bible study about thinking, if you were here for that series. Acts 26. Paul standing before Agrippa, and he says in verse number 2, I think myself happy. Paul said, I think myself happy. That means if you change the way you think, you can make yourself happy by believing what God said. Now, I know it's a translation. You believe the Greek more than the English. My Bible in the English says that Paul thought himself happy. That means you can think yourself happy. Stop being miserable. I don't care how you grew up. God's more powerful than how you grew up. I don't care what happened to you in your past. God's bigger than what happened to you in your past. 99% of this Me Too crowd are a bunch of fake, phony, and fraud women claiming to be violated when they themselves voluntarily wanted it. They're a bunch of liars. And then they're playing victim now. You don't know what they did. You don't know what they said. Well, how come you didn't go to police 20 years ago? How come you didn't cry for help when it was happening? Liar, liar. They're a bunch of liars. They all want to play victim. He thought himself happy. How come you can't be happy today? Because your thinking's messed up. Your thought process is messed up. You're thinking more about the world than you're thinking about Jesus. You're thinking what you're going to do and how you're going to enjoy with the world instead of enjoying God and the Word of God. My Bible says in Romans 14, happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. James 5:11 says, we count them happy which endure. 1 Peter 3, I mentioned some of these last week, I believe. He said, if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. They're picking on me, Pastor. Then why are you complaining? Why aren't you rejoicing? 1 Peter 4:14 says, if ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. Hey, you know what? Why don't you think yourself happy? Do you understand, Paul? He quoted this. He said this just before, a while before he was beheaded by Nero. Why could all the Baptist martyrs being burned at the stake sing and shout for joy while you cuss and swear and use God's name in vain and blaspheme when some little thing enters your life that you don't want, you don't like? The problem is your lack of joy. The problem is your thinking. The problem is your thought process. The problem is you. 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 Let's all stand.